Youth Focus, a series dealing with topics of interest to people ages 15 to 24. This week, Lynn Price and Jocelyn Sampson focus on immigrant youth.
My name is Thai. I came from Vietnam.
Anna, I'm from Poland.
Harmish, I'm from India.
Canada is not a homogenous society, but one made up of people of diverse cultural backgrounds. It is not so much a melting pot, but rather a sort of patchwork quilt. Immigrants enrich our society and make Canada a more interesting place to live.
The life of an immigrant is difficult and confusing. For teenagers and young adults, the cultural transition of the family is frustrating and painful.
If the youth has recently moved to Canada, there's a new language to learn, a new school system to deal with, and without English proficiency, unemployment.
The path to a higher education and to job opportunities is often blocked for the young person without good English language skills. English language training is available to immigrants in cities across Canada. The King Edward campus of Vancouver Community College has offered English language training for the past 16 years. At the moment, 450 students are registered at the campus's two ELT programs. The first is a full-time program designed to provide English language proficiency to the non-English speaker. The second, a part-time program, offers a certificate in English proficiency. Leslie Thompson is an English language training instructor at the college.
The vocational is mainly for refugees and for people who have been in the country for a short time, although we do get some people coming in who have been here for, say, 10, 15 years and still don't speak English. The half-time program is primarily for people who have been here for quite a while and are coming back to further their studies in English. On a part-time basis, usually they work. That's the point of having a part-time program. We're looking to give the student as much English language skill as he or she needs in order to get some sort of a job. For further English studies, they're going to have to come back to the half-time program. But after 5 months of training, they usually have enough to kind of open a door to getting a first job in Canada. The half-time program is geared to people who really want to go after certificates in English. And those are the people who are going into English 059, 099, college preparatory classes. Many of our students go on to college and university after the half-time program.
Often, when a young adult moves to Canada, they are able to get a job in a business in which the boss and the employees speak their native tongue. In this case, the youth learns little or no English.
Given the job situation, if you speak a language where, for example, if you speak Cantonese and you can get a job with a Cantonese boss easily, you're going to do that rather than hit your head against a wall for months and months and months trying to get in with an English-speaking boss. So in that respect, we don't try to discourage people from getting a job with people who speak their own language. Not at this time. At other times, we have. We really tried to show them that if they can get in with an English-speaking group of people, it's going to help them in the long run. And they know this anyway. But at the present time, anything goes. If they can get any kind of a job, they're delighted, we're delighted, as long as they've got some money coming in.
The government provides full bursaries for immigrants with refugee status, but sponsored immigrants, those admitted to Canada because they have relatives living here, must pay the entire fee.
The cost is still going up. It's still comparatively cheap in comparison to all other courses that I can think of. Offhand, I think the cost is $71 a month. $71 a month for a new Canadian is a lot of money. But $71 for somebody who's privately sponsored, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, it's not bad.
Students enrolled in the ELT program are anxious to learn and study the new language diligently.
Occasionally we'll get students who are really loaded down with problems, and those students really can't cope with learning English, and for 5 months it practically kills them to sit here day in and day out. But I would say by and large most of the students are really, really keen to get their English down and get out in the real world.
Leslie Thompson has witnessed the pressures with which her students are faced.
Those whose parents are in other countries, there's a different kind of a pressure. There's a kind of a pressure to bring the parents here. There's a pressure to send photos back to families to show that they're doing well in the new country, and very often they take pictures beside fancy cars that they don't have, and then when the family comes here and sees they have nothing, they're devastated. Then there are the other students who are privately sponsored, whose parents are here. They have a tremendous pressure to do well, to excel in everything in their courses, and that causes a big rift in families. They look at the society around them, it's not like where they were before, and they know that people aren't being pushed the way their parents are pushing them.
The unemployment rate for young people is higher than for any other age group. For immigrant youth, the statistics are worse. To help combat growing unemployment in the immigrant community, many nonprofit aid programs have been established. The Mosaic Job Corps, established autumn of 1984, is designed to teach young immigrants how to find a job in Canada. To qualify, one must be between the ages of 19 and 24, have upper beginner level English, and be motivated to work and to retain a job. The entire program is 4 months long and consists of three phases. Phase one is 8 weeks long. Pat Donnelly, instructor.
Given that they are accepted, they then come in and start phase one, which is 2 months in the classroom. They're in the classroom from 9 in the morning until 4:30 every afternoon, and they have a lot of material to go through. They really study quite hard. I teach every morning. I teach first class is job search skills, and that's where we really get to the nitty-gritties of how to look for a job. So they're working on things such as doing a resume, reading the want ads, for example, which for many of them without help is an insurmountable task, how to use the Canada Employment Centres. We explore in great detail the ways to find a job, the ways to look for a job. In block two, or class two or block two, we cover what we call life skills, which is really where the cultural component comes in. So, for example, we'll look at how to find an apartment in the city, which also entails reading ads in the newspaper, which again, without help, is very difficult for them. So we go through that. We also do a week on banking, for example, banking and budgeting, how to open an account and be at a bank here, and things that English language and Canadian people take for granted, withdrawal slips, deposit slips. Many of them have never seen that before, so we go into that in detail. We look a little bit at health and nutrition. We look at driver's education. A variety of things, really, hoping to really try and integrate them into the city. What we're doing first week, and what we've started right already, is Vancouver geography. They've all been instructed to buy a map, and they're looking at maps of the area. They'll have assignments to do to go to different places, because we want to familiarize themselves with the city, or familiarize themselves with the city, rather. Then in the afternoon, the other instructor takes over, and she goes into English for work. So she'll look, for example, at filling in the TD1 forms, which, again, many of them have never seen. She touches on income tax forms, you know, making very clear to them that in Canada, everybody has to pay income tax. So she looks at a lot of the paperwork. And then she looks at things that are a little bit more difficult to get at, such as getting along with your co-workers, how to ask the boss for a day off, should you need a day off for a valid reason, how to communicate with the boss and with your co-workers in the workplace. The fifth or the last block of the day we call independent study. And at this point, the trainees can work on, if they should need extra work on something that's been covered during the day, they have that opportunity to do so. If there has been some homework assigned, they have some time to do it then. We have them writing a journal every day. We like them to keep track of their thoughts and how they feel about the program, and to kind of make a note of what kind of progress they feel they're making. And as well in that period, we have what we call contact assignments. So this is when we will give them assignments that force them out into the community to go and look at and do different things.
The Job Corps does not find the jobs for the immigrants, but but rather aids them in looking and giving that necessary push.
They then move into phase two, which is called a trial job placement, and phase three is their full-time work time. Now, what happens is that towards the end of phase one, that is in weeks 6, 7, and 8, they are out for a full day each week self-marketing. See, we don't find jobs for them. They go out and look for jobs themselves. So we help prepare their schedules, what kind of companies they'll go to, what geographical area. We get out the bus maps, we get out the city maps, and we really direct them in their self-marketing. But from 9 in the morning to whatever time they finish, 4:30 or 5 that particular day, they are out on their own looking for a job.
Education is not a factor, as skills of the young people involved vary.
The only thing they have in common really is their age group, 19 to 24, as I mentioned, and the fact that they're all immigrants. But the education levels can vary widely. I mean, we have some people who have completed grade 6 or grade 8, and we have others, of course, who have completed technical occupational high school, for example, from Europe. So that varies. We do make it very clear, I didn't mention this earlier, in our criteria for entry that they must be ready and willing to accept entry-level work. So if, for example, a university graduate knocks on our door and is not willing to start at the bottom sort of thing, then we have to direct him elsewhere. We've had quite a variety of jobs as well. Nobody actually has a minimum wage job, but $4 an hour is quite minimal, shall we say. But as, you know, these are people who had very, very few skills to offer. Now, the people that had better skills, I'm thinking, for example, of a fellow with some mechanics training, is working at $7 an hour. So just as happens here in Canada, you know, with Canadians rather, the people that have more to offer get higher salaries.
Immigrant youth as a whole are hard workers.
I do find they are very motivated. There are probably some who are quite happy to remain on income assistance, but certainly the ones that we are encountering are very eager to make a life for themselves here in Canada, and they appreciate fully that they have to have a good level of English in order to assimilate properly. They are very anxious to get a job. They realize the importance. It gives them independence, and for whatever other reasons they might think about. And what's important as well is that they want to retain the job. So where we may look at some groups who have problems in finding a job, we really feel that the problem with a lot of these people is that they have problems looking for the job. But once they have the job, they retain it. And certainly the employer feedback that we've had has been very, very good.
For young people who have moved to Canada early in life or who were born here soon after their family's arrival, life is also difficult. While attempting to assimilate with North American society, these youths often feel the pull of their cultural roots. Hemi Denoa is a bilingual community worker. She works at Mosaic, a nonprofit organization which provides information, counseling, and interpretation for non-English speaking citizens. Youth Focus spoke to her at Mosaic's lively office situated on Vancouver's multicultural commercial drive. She has witnessed the cultural clash experienced by children of immigrant parents.
Often problems arise from misunderstandings between youths and their parents. Parents misunderstand Canadian culture, and youths interpret their parents' protectiveness as cruelty.
For example, I was a student in a college, and the counselor and the teacher, they brought the student over to me. They telephoned me first, and they wanted some help in terms of assessing what exactly was bothering this girl at home. And there seemed to be a conflict, when we found out, between the parents and this young girl. She was not being encouraged, for example, to participate in certain activities, certain subjects that she wanted to take were not some things that parents were very happy with. It seemed to deal with a lot of conflicts arising because she was in a college where there were boys and girls, and so that sort of was very threatening to the parents. This is a young, beautiful girl, and she was brought up in the Canadian way, but then she was also belonging to another cultural group, and that brought about a lot of conflict at home because she wanted to do certain things in a certain way. She wanted to take some, for example, you know, she went to college to take some classes that she wanted to progress in or to get some degrees in. And the parents were feeling afraid that she would probably go out with the boys, there would be dating, there would be kinds of things that they had heard about, and their fears were that all Canadian, for example, youth are all, they either take drugs or they date, there's free sex, and these things naturally bother them. It's because they do not understand that even Canadian parents are as much concerned as they are. But it's in terms of not knowing and the expectations not being clear, these fears were very real to them. And then this girl, in turn, was, all these things were affecting her at work because the counselors expected some kind of different behavior in school and college. And she was caught in this, and she didn't know what to do. She was even feeling suicidal. I mean, it seems to be very, people don't understand why she should be suicidal for such a small thing. It's not really small. It's her daily, day-to-day life in home, and as well as in the college environment, where there were two worlds that she was living in. So there was a dual set of standards expected of her, and that was really hard for her. It's hard for the parents as well, and I do understand it from their point of view too. So there needs to be a lot of understanding to be brought about so that it'll be a bit easier for them to deal with it. It's not, the problem is not going to go away, but it'll be easier to deal with. And what happened in this case was that we discussed it, and I had some suggestions to bring in the parents into the picture as well and to treat it as a whole case, not just separately that the girl had problems. So my suggestion was to let's sit down together and see what we can come up with individually with the parents and then with her, and then to come together to some understanding. The idea was not to remove her from her home, because that was not her desire. She loved her parents. She wanted to please them. She wanted to do things that were good for her as well. So we had to bring in some kind of a middle line.
Although crises arise, immigrants are hesitant to seek professional help.
In my opinion, I think people normally try to solve their own problems, which is understandable. I would do the same thing and try to come up with some kind of a happy medium for each individual family or each individual person. But if a crisis arises, for example, in the case that I mentioned, this girl was having a lot of problems in college and she was suicidal, and so it came to the attention of the counselors. That's most of the time, that is how it'll happen. People who are coming from, for example, in Vancouver, there are people who have come, the majority of them come from rural backgrounds. They speak little or no English. They have little or no formal education. That is the majority I'm talking about. And these people are very traditional. They have not seen a large city back home. And so when they come out here straight from the village, their sets of rules and their way of living is very traditional, very set. And for them, it's a total shock experience here. A person coming from a city back, say, from India, also will go through the same shock, cultural shock. But these people face it doubly so. And so they come with these traditions and sets, and they have to learn a lot of new rules here. And when the children are born here or brought up here since very young, they have to live in two worlds, as I mentioned before. And that means that they go to school for a certain number of hours, and they are with other children from, you know, Canadian background. And they learn different ways, and it's natural for them to want to be like them too, because they want to be accepted. And then when they come home, it's a totally different world, where the mom or the dad would not speak English, or they speak very limited English. And they have different food habits, different dress habits, different religious habits. And also there are differences, there are dual standards of being for the male and the female children as well. For example, the boys are allowed to go out. It's all right for a guy to go out, and if he wants to date, fine, but they will accept it, tolerate it. They will still not be happy with it, but it's still okay. But as far as a girl is concerned, she's going to get married anyway, so she's going to be a housewife, and what she's encouraged to do is to learn, say, cooking and housekeeping, and not allowed to date at all. So these are different rules with the men, the male and the female children at home, plus the other things, the traditions that they're coming with, the parents, and then the children being caught up in these two worlds where they're the language is different, and they are encouraged to speak Punjabi at home, for example, or Hindi at home, and in school and college they speak English all the time. And there's this big generation gap which widens if nothing is done about it, if it remains that way, because the children go another way and the parents are in another way. No problem is always going to be solved. There will always be some problems existing. This is something, it's an ongoing thing.
Hemi Denoa offers her advice to young people experiencing family difficulties.
Well, my advice would be, I've worked with Mosaic for 12 years, so I seem to have some opinions of my own with the experience that I've gathered, is that these young people are going through a very painful process, and I do understand what they are going through. It's very difficult, very frustrating, and humiliating sometimes. But in spite of that, they are, they belong to a group which has their own set of ways, and for them to understand it from their parents' point of view, for them it's a bit easier because they do have some education, they have English, and it's an open sort of society in which they are encouraged to be their own person, to do their own thinking, which is not so or necessarily in their own culture. I would say, for example, to them to see it from the parents' point of view and do the best that they can in terms of understanding and trying to talk to them in that understanding way. If it's not possible, then to have someone else involved who is going to be understanding both their points of view, and to have that person come out and help ease the problem if it's possible. And it's a matter of coming to some kind of an understanding, a compromise. And a solution for me, and the advice for me to them would be, suicide is not is the only way out, or running away from home is not the answer, drugs are not the answer, because they are unhappy in that situation too. So why isn't it better to be in a situation where there's love? Parents do love them very much, but the way they show is maybe not in the appropriate way that these children want that to be. But love is love, and so for them to go beyond that and see it from their point of view as well.
A major problem facing immigrant youth is racism.
Racism exists, and this is because people, you know, it's difficult enough to deal with one culture, but this is so many cultures, and then people are all going through such changes. They are forced, for example, a Canadian is forced to learn about different people in his classroom, his or her classroom. And so is the case with, of course, this other immigrant or the different ethnic child. But it's a two-way process, and this thing exists. I have known people, students, or, you know, friends, children who have said the same thing, that if they've newly arrived and they've gone to a high school, there is problems of learning their language, not special classes being always available, plus the fact that the way of dressing naturally is very different, the pronunciation is different, the way their food habits, as I said, mentioned, but there are different ways of being for them. And for them to immediately change that is very difficult. It's a very lengthy process, and it's a gradual process in which there's a lot of pain and frustration, because it's any kind of change is frustrating. And when they have racism also to deal with it, that becomes additionally frustrating for them. You see, they are visibly, if they, for example, the Indo-Canadians are a visible minority, that means as soon as you see them, the color of their skin stands out, their way of dressing, the food habits, their culture, their religious habits, all these really clearly stand out. And so they are singled out in terms of any kind of ridicule or any kind of negativity. And this becomes additionally hard for these people. As it is, it's difficult for them to deal and cope with change. They haven't grown up here gradually going into a school system and being able to cope with it when they were younger. When they're older, the age factor comes into picture, because they've already become certain individuals, and they, for them to be molded at that point becomes a bit more difficult.
Surely, it is difficult for Canadians to accept so many new cultures into its own. But we must realize that ours is a country made by immigrants of long ago and of recent years. We must learn about these new cultures by accepting new immigrants for what they are, and help them fit into the Canadian way of life. As for the young immigrants of today, their hopes remain bright despite their difficult position.
I'm looking for the job. I'd like to learn English, then I can communicate with the Canadian people.
First, I wanted to finish my grade 12. Then I'm going to do a bookkeeping course or accounting.
After finishing this training program, I think that I will take a manpower training program for manpower and start with my old job as a roadsmith.
For Youth Focus, I'm Lynn Price.
And I'm Jocelyn Sampson.
Youth Focus was produced in the studios of CITR-FM and was made possible by a grant from the federal government.